is an episode I've been looking forward to because our guest today has made quite a splash in the industry. We are here in the studio with Iman Abbas, and you would know her from the brand Ketish.
Yes, it's one of those brands that's been controversial, but also very much needed in the region because the discussions that Ketish has started and Iman has started has been something that we as Middle Eastern women need to start discussing more.
Yeah, and it's been a very interesting journey for Iman, and I think everything she's gone through in life has culminated to a point where she has become her own brand, and her story is amazing. Ketish is also the first brand to be launched by Huda Beauty Angels, her investment. So, you know, if you want to find out more, stay tuned. And this is Candid with Haneen Ansar. So we're here today with the woman that's been making waves all over social media. I'm sure you've by now heard of her. We're here with Iman Abbas, the founder of Ketish.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hi. It's so exciting to have you here. I know you've been so busy since you've launched your brand, but we're so grateful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's remarkable to have, you know, a Middle Eastern woman tell a story like yours. So in regards to telling a story, we do this question where we ask all our guests to give us a very quick intro into who they are in 30 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever you decide to put in there, that's up to you.
Okay, wow. 30 seconds. I'm so wordy. Okay. So my name is Iman. I grew up in California. I am the daughter of two Egyptian immigrants who left their lives to the States and built themselves from the ground up and instilled so much in my sister and I. I recently launched a feminine and intimate wellness brand called Ketish. And I think that Ketish is just the culmination of my entire experience as a woman, as a professional. And I'm just, I'm excited to finally be my authentic self and to show the world what I'm proud of, and that's helping women embrace themselves, embrace their bodies, embrace their sexuality.
That's incredible. I like when an Arab says that because it's such a taboo topic in our society. It's something that's not really discussed, especially in public. So it's interesting for me that someone who comes from both Middle Eastern parents, that you would launch a brand that's this daring. So we kind of want to know your journey. What was your journey that led you to launch this brand?
Yeah. I feel like I said, I feel like Ketish has been in the works my entire life. I grew up in the States, in California, in a pretty strict Arab American home. My parents were super loving, very supportive, wanted us to, you know, reach for the stars, hold the moon in our hands, but they also wanted to make sure that we were proper, you know, Muslim Egyptian girls. Like, my dad was the president of our mosque, and when I was growing up, it was frustrating. Like, I often felt like I was caught in between two worlds of just being, you know, like a normal American girl and, you know, trying to abide by the rules and, I don't want to say rules and regulations, but just the norms.
The
customs of my household. And although it was frustrating then, I now realize that my parents were just like so desperately trying to hold on to the only culture that they knew. And I was just trying to like break every rule possible. I would say my interest and my intrigue in feminine health, intimacy, it started at a young age. I was always a late bloomer. I didn't get my first period until I was 15. I was always curious about how my body worked. My nickname in high school, I actually haven't told many people this. My nickname in high school was Hormone. Part of it was because I was a little boy crazy. And I think the other part of it was because I was just so curious about, you know, like our bodies. And I don't think that curiosity really grew into what it was supposed to be until I was 21. I was a senior in college, and I ended up going to the gynecologist for the first time. You know, I was curious. I wanted to see, like, what was happening with my body. My friends had told me that, oh, the clinic downtown does, you know, free screenings and pap smears. You should go, you know, you're sexually active, you should go figure out what's going on. And so I did. And it was during that first gynecological exam that they diagnosed me with cervical cancer, which was caused by HPV. And it was such a turning point in my life. I mean, that word in of itself just like sent shockwaves through my body.
At 21, like you don't think you're going to get anything at 21. You're invincible at 21.
Right.
So. And it was your first time getting these tests done, right? So you wouldn't think anything of it.
No, like I didn't even all the way understand what would happen during that first exam. And I went in and it was pretty, you know, painless and you don't think anything of it. And I left and 3 days later, they called me back and they actually called me into to come back to the office. And I was like, okay, great. This is not good. What are they going to tell me? And I never expected it to be that. And I think in that moment, yes, I was terrified and all the thoughts ran through my mind. But I think what was most sad was that I really had to think twice, three times, four times about telling my family. Yeah. And when I realized that I probably couldn't or shouldn't out of fear of disappointing them. And I really thought that if I told them, I would lose them. And so I decided not to tell them. And a lot of that is because of our culture. You know, we didn't grow up in our household, my household, talking about our bodies or sex, or, you know, all we learned was do not have sex. You will get pregnant and your life will be over. Yeah. And although I didn't do that, like something else happened. And I feared that my parents would make it more about, you know, the act of me having sex than what was actually going on with my health. Yeah. So I decided to take that journey on my own. And yeah, it was 9 years of, you know, just being like consistent, going to the gynecologist. It was actually 3 years in which I actually had to get treatment. So I got 2 rounds of cryosurgery. So luckily they were able to detect it early enough to where I didn't have to get chemo. Okay. But it was every 3 to 6 months I'd have to go to the gynecologist, a gynecological exam every time, biopsy, and then twice it led to cryosurgery, which they actually removed the part of your cervix that's affected. For the majority of my 20s, it was just being hypersensitive to what was happening with my feminine health. And I think through that journey, what I realized was there was so much missing in the intimate wellness space. Like I would go to the drugstore or back in the States to Target.
Oh, where Target. We need a Target, you guys.
It's the best. It's already embarrassing enough to walk down that aisle, you know, to get your tampons, to buy your feminine wash. But I just remember walking through that aisle and feeling like, are these products going to be safe for me? Like me, with all of this going on with my body already, is it going to harm me more? Is it toxic? Like, is it going to lead to more issues than what I was already facing? And yeah, it just turned me on to the fact that like the landscape of feminine and intimate health, or the products were not credible. There weren't a ton of options, and they were just embarrassing to purchase. Yeah. And ultimately, that's what's led me to create Kedish. I wanted to create a brand where women felt like they had powerful products that were good for them, that were safe for them, but also felt, you know, luxurious. But I think what I feel is missing even still is just that sense of community and education. I often think that maybe if I had a brand that I could turn to, or a community that I could turn to learn from, or other women that I could hear their journeys and their stories, like maybe my journey would have turned out differently if I would have known more or caught it earlier or not been ashamed to go to the gynecologist. Like imagine if I just never went that day when I was 21.
It would have been catastrophic.
Yeah. So that's essentially what I want to build with Kedish is, you know, amazing products, but also just this sense of community and empowerment and just providing women with the knowledge that they need to be able to feel like they can make wise decisions about their feminine health.
That is remarkable. And I think it's so great of you to tackle such a difficult topic to talk about, right?
I feel like it's such a shame that it's a difficult topic to discuss when half of the population goes through this. All women have their periods. All women, you know, this hormone thing, everyone goes through it. we don't talk about it enough. Mm. And then it turns out that something like this happens to someone, our sister, our mother, or our friend, and we can't really talk about it. And I think we need to move from that direction, because again, like you said, if you had waited any longer, God knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
And I hate that. When growing up, I remember when I got my period, my mom was like, your dad and your brothers aren't supposed to know, you know, we're not supposed to talk about it. You're supposed to sneak the tampon or sneak.
Yeah. You put the tampon in your sleeve and then you walk around.
You have to sneak
in. So ashamed.
They can't know. You have a special, use other toilets so that, cause your brothers can't see that, you know, and I feel like that's so messed up, because why should we be ashamed of something that naturally occurs?
Yeah, we need to normalize feminine health and feminine wellness, because, you know, it's still a bit of a taboo in the Western world, let alone here. Mm-hmm. So even there, you still pick up your tampons in the States or in Europe and whatever. You don't, like, flash them around. You kind of hide them under your groceries so nobody sees. So let alone here.
Right.
You know, tell your partner to go buy you tampons. You see how they cringe. They go like, oh, my God, can you just order them online?
Yeah,
they get scared.
There was a TikTok trend going around where they would ask their boyfriends or brothers, like, how to use a pad. And they thought that you stick the pad on you rather than on your underwear.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, but how do you do that? So where does the tampon go? Like, how do you put the whole thing in? Like,
they have no clue.
It's
no
clue. So
no
bad.
Clue. But there's no education. Like, you know, like Iman said, there's no community to talk about this. There's no education about it. There's nothing. You know, you just get the weird TV ads where they pour like a blue liquid on a pad. And that's the only thing you know about periods.
Right.
So
yeah, when we first started working on Kedish, we wanted to take the opportunity to understand, you know, where was the level of education that women had. I grew up in the States. So I had sex education when I was in high school, and it was in a textbook, and a lot of it was fear-based, like, don't do this, don't do that. But there's still a lot of, you know, communities and societies that they don't provide any sex education. Mm-hmm. And not even sex education, just anatomy.
Yeah.
You know, understanding and learning your body and understanding, you know, what happens when you hit puberty and what happens on a period and what happens during pregnancy. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It is really sad. A lot of women that we spoke to told us about how, I didn't learn about this till my wedding night, or my sister's going through this, and my mom had to have the conversation with her, you know, before she got married. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we want to change. And it has nothing to do with the act of sex. I mean, it does. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it just has to do with learning your body and understanding, you know, the natural things that happen to your body. And we believe that if we provide women with the education and the knowledge, you know, we can remove that shame from it.
Yeah.
She can become proud of it rather than feeling embarrassed or ashamed of it.
Yeah. Amazing. So, speaking of, let's talk about the quickie, which is the first product that we received from Kedish. Do you have a story behind this product?
Yeah. So the quickie is actually one of the first products that I started working on when I worked on Kedish. It was funny. When Kedish came to me, it was a random morning. I was in Milan for work. This was a couple of years ago. I was in Milan for work, and I just remember my brain woke me up in the middle of the night. And I started writing all these things down about Kedish and what I wanted it to look like and what the products would be like. And the quickie was one of them. It was the first one I wrote down. And it was inspired, actually, by one of my girlfriends back home. She once had told me a story about this date that she had been on, where it was her first date. She was really into the guy, and they were at a bar, and she had set her purse. She was notorious for carrying around intimate wipes and carrying them around in her purse for a very long time, like an inappropriate amount of time. It became crusty, and like, it didn't even look like an intimate wipe anymore, but it was. And so she had carried it around in her purse, and they were on the date, and the purse ended up falling onto the ground, and her intimate wipe spilled out of the purse, and her date went to go pick it up and was like, oh, you dropped your vaginal wipe, which isn't even the correct term, but he said that, and he like announced it to the bar. She was super mortified and embarrassed, and I don't think she went out with the guy again. And I remember when she told me the story, I laughed, of course, because I thought it was funny, but it really made me think, like, why are we so ashamed as women? Like you just said, when we have our period, we like hide our tampon in our sleeve, or we like whisper it to our girlfriend, like, do you have a tampon? You know, yeah, like it's something that you feel ashamed of. And that I think that goes across all feminine hygiene. And so with this intimate wipe, I wanted to create something that was like effective, refreshing, you know, it served its purpose, but also something that was, you know, bold and empowering. It's in a gold wrapper. You take it out of your purse and you wave it around. It's like, yeah, this is my intimate wipe. And yeah, I'm going to go use it to refresh myself. And whatever the situation is, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be used for pre-intimacy. It could be after the gym, you know, and you're heading to meet some friends. You just want to smell good and feel refreshed. And so that's really why we wanted to launch with the quickie. And the reason why we chose the quickie first is because we specifically wanted to start with something that was not intimidating.
Yeah.
Something that we could come onto the scene with and start the conversation about feminine health, hygiene, and have it be a little cheeky and a little fun and a little sexy without pushing the envelope too much. Yeah. But even the quickie has been controversial.
Yeah, it's made some waves.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. How has it been? Because again, this is the first time we see something like this in the Middle East by a Middle Eastern woman. So how has the response been?
Yeah, I mean, I would say specifically for the quickie, obviously the name is quite suggestive.
Yes.
That was on purpose.
It's cheeky. I like it.
And the reason, and you'll find that, I mean, not all of our names are going to be that suggestive, but we're sassy. We're a cheeky brand. You know, we got a little attitude and we're funny, but I think that has thrown some people off. I think that has led to a lot of misconceptions that, you know, we're a brand that's just about sex, and that we heard some feedback where, women are saying that we promote promiscuity given our products, where really that's the furthest thing from the truth. What we promote is, you know, women feeling unashamed and unapologetic when it comes to caring for their bodies and understanding their bodies. And we want to provide women with these amazing products, but also the education to be able to do just that. And so I think that the response has been mixed. A lot of women are so excited. I mean, when we first launched and up until today, we've received hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DMs and emails about women just sharing their stories and being so excited to finally have an outlet to do so and to in a way that feels safe for them, yeah, which has been amazing. We also have had people reach out and you know, tell us that this is inappropriate. Like, how dare you? You're a Muslim woman. Why are you promoting these things? And I think that has been at times disappointing, but also an opportunity. And we expected this. We expected the response to be mixed. And I'm happy when those situations come about, because it's an opportunity to have a conversation for us as a brand to learn, you know, where people stand, and for us to learn, you know, what work do we still have to do, and for them to understand a different perspective as well. And you know, Kedish might not be for everyone right now, but we're hoping in time every woman can see a piece of them in Kedish.
So I'm going to push back a little bit, because, you know, since Kedish launched, I've had discussions with different people about it. You know, like you said, it's a quite a controversial product line and product and name and concept. So a lot of times when I was speaking to people, they were saying, yeah, you know, we do need a product like this, but why is it scented? Mm. Is that okay? You know, they always tell you don't put anything fragrance down there. Why do I need a wipe? Is my vagina not self-cleansing? So there was a lot of things like that. So, of course, I'm not a scientist and I don't know the business as well as you do. So I wanted to take those questions and ask you, in the hopes that people who have a concern like this are listening today, and you might be able to shed some light on these kind of questions.
Right. Yeah, we received questions like that, especially when we first launched the quickie. You know, why do women need to be ashamed of their odor? Why are you telling women that they are dirty? And that's the purpose of the quickie is never that. The purpose of all of our products is never to tell women that something is wrong with you. The purpose is, if for me, I want to feel fresh throughout the day. I sweat a lot, especially in my intimate areas. And it's something that I find a concern for myself. And I like a quick refresh throughout the day. It's something that it is my preference. And so the purpose of our products is, if a woman has that preference, we would never tell them, you need to use a quickie because you know, X, Y, and Z. It's if you have a preference to feel that freshness and to carry these wipes with you, we want to give you something that is safe, something that is luxurious and effective, and something that's going to work for you without you feeling like you have to question it because it's not credible or not safe. When it comes to the formula itself, this is something that we battled a lot, scented versus unscented. For us, first and foremost, we wanted to make sure that it was natural as possible, because it's true. Products that are used on the intimate areas, you know, it's a sensitive area, and you want to make sure that what you're providing for women, that it's going to be safe and that it's going to be effective and it's not going to create more issues. Like I'd mentioned earlier, that was one of the biggest concerns that I had before starting this brand, is are the products that are out there, are they credible? And are the chemicals in those products going to hurt me more than, you know, what I was already feeling? And so it's been my mission as a founder to work with the best labs, the best suppliers, to create these products and to make them in a way that they are safe and that they are effective and that women can feel comfortable using them. With the scented question, it is something that we battled, and we decided to go with the scented version. But we made sure to work with one of the best fragrance houses in the world called Givaudan. They're amazing, and they specifically formulated the fragrance for use in intimate products. So it is at a very, very low dose in the formula. It's like 0.2%, which, if you know about cosmetic formulas, it's a pretty low percentage of fragrance. We also, the juice itself is formulated to have low level allergens. So it's not the same fragrance that you would find
at
a body spray, at a department store, a body wash. It's specifically formulated for use in intimate care. Okay. And most of our products going forward actually don't include fragrance. Okay. Some do. And it's something that we decided to do, like, preference-wise, but we plan to carry fragrance-free alternatives going forward as well.
Amazing. Okay, so there's something for everyone.
Yeah, great. Well, it's so interesting to hear how you've developed this brand, but I kind of want to know more about you and your journey of creating the brand. So what was it that you were doing before? And did you at any point feel like, I shouldn't be doing this, or this is ridiculous, it's not going to work? Like, tell me that journey. Like, let me know, like, open up more about that journey of you discovering that Ketish is happening.
Right. So I always grew up not really understanding what my passion was. Like, I wasn't like 12 years old saying, I'm going to start a beauty brand or I'm going to start a cosmetic brand. I always knew that I wanted to help people. When people would ask me, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I don't know, but I just want to help people. And I got my first beauty job with Sephora. I started with them as a supply chain manager. And I'd always had this, like, excitement and passion towards beauty, but I never really thought that I could make it, like, a career until, like, post-college, and, you know, YouTube started blowing up and Sephora's came on the scene, and then I eventually landed a job with Sephora. But I was in supply chain, which is, like, not the sexiest job in the company. I was, like, moving trucks around, not, you know, playing with makeup. But I felt like, okay, cool. Like, at least I have my foot in the door. I'd always wanted to get closer to product, closer to the brands, and eventually maybe, like, work for a brand someday. And I think I'd been with Sephora about 2.5 years. I'd always been an avid follower and admirer of Huda's, Huda Kattan. And I remember when she got brought on to Sephora, I became like the Huda Kattan ambassador.
Number one fan.
Number one fan of Sephora US. And I remember I was planning a trip to come visit my sister here in Dubai. And I asked my coworker, I don't know why I asked her, but I did. I said, do you think I could go visit the Huda Beauty offices when I'm in Dubai? Like, I leave in a week. And she was like, let me ask. She ended up calling Huda directly and asking her, She said, there's a girl, she works here at Sephora. She'd love to come stop by the office. Is that something that is okay with you? And Huda miraculously said yes, which I still don't understand, but she did. And I ended up coming and meeting her. And it's like my love for her just grew exponentially. I had an opportunity to sit down with her, to talk to her about her brand, her life. Like, it was crazy. We had a crazy instant connection. Like, I felt like her little sister. And I left that meeting feeling like, man, I need to be a part of this. So a couple months later, I emailed her and I asked for a job. And she offered me the job of a product development manager, which I'd had zero experience in. Like, I was basically driving trucks for Sephora. And when she told me this, I was like, are you sure? Like, I don't have any experience in product development. She's like, I don't care. You love beauty. You know beauty. I can't teach you that, but I can teach you the rest of the stuff. So, yeah, I ended up packing all my stuff into 3 suitcases, moved from California to Dubai. And that's where the road to, like, really understanding brand building and product innovation and product development, that's when it really started. I got to watch Huda up close, was literally, we had a team of 2 in product development when I started. And I got to see her create these visions and these sketches into actual products and work really closely with a beauty visionary. And I think that's what really got, you know, my brain started with, like, man, well, if she could do it, maybe I could do it too. And she had posted, this was like 2017. I'd been with the company for about a year already, Huda Beauty. And she had posted this video on social media saying she wanted to start this fund called Huda Beauty Angels, where she wanted to invest in, you know, young, passionate entrepreneurs with mission-based brands. And I was like, okay, well, I have this idea, you know, for a feminine wellness brand. And a lot of these ideas were swirling through my mind for years, but I never really put pen to paper until I saw this video. And it took me some time. It took me like 6 months to really first to like map everything out and then to like get the courage to ask her and show her the concept. But yeah, I ended up asking for a meeting and pitching the idea. And it wasn't something that she loved right away. It took some time, and eventually I think she saw the power that a brand like Kedish could have. You know, there were a lot of things that I mapped out, not just product, but also, you know, the opportunity to create a community for women, the opportunity to give back to women in a real way, and I think she saw the power in that, and I think that's what really made her want to be a part of this journey with me. And so, yeah, 2.5 years later, here we are.
Oh, that's great. That just shows you just put yourself out there and you can get what you want.
Yeah.
Because that's what you did, right? Like, was there at any point where, was there any self-doubt or was there any, or just because you've had this vision, you're like, you know what, I know it's going to do well. I just trust myself and just go in.
I mean, I still have self-doubt to this day. Any founder or entrepreneur that tells you that they don't is lying. Like, every day I question things, I question myself, but there's always been something in the pit of my stomach that says, like, keep going, you have to keep going. But yeah, it's been a tough road. Even just switching from the mindset of being an employee to now founder, it has been a big shift for me, and it's constantly something that I work on. Trying to launch a brand during COVID,
yeah.
When the whole world stopped, yeah, and stood still and everything felt like it was going to fall apart, was so tough. But I think it gave me an opportunity to slow down and really understand, you know, what's your purpose? What do you want this brand to do? And how are you going to do it? And I think that if we didn't have that, you know, the 6 months at home or the year where the world kind of stopped, I don't think I would have had that opportunity. So yeah, there's been a ton of challenges. But there's something, and I don't think I realized this until recently, that I really feel like this brand is my destiny. You know, like, some of my darkest moments in my life have led me to where I am now. And if I didn't have those challenges, I don't think that this brand would exist. And so I always remember that. Like, you're giving people what you wish you had, and there's power in that.
Wow. Yeah. It's like taking something that is so difficult and turning it into literally your entire journey.
Yeah.
And that helps other people as well. So like you said, mission-based brand. It's incredible.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about the name, because there was a lot of questions about the name.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There was a lot of different pronunciations of the name. So let's talk about the name for a little bit. Where does Ketish come from?
Yeah, so I wanted the brand name to represent my culture. There were a lot of names that we threw around. And it's tough. It's really hard to name a brand these days.
Yes.
Everything's taken.
Yeah. It's like you literally have to come up with a different language, which we basically did. But we started to do some research. I wanted the brand to represent my culture, but not in a cheesy way. You know, I'm Egyptian. There's a lot you could do with it. But we dug around and we found this goddess, an ancient Egyptian goddess by the name of Ketesh. And she was the goddess of love, passion, sexuality, and pleasure and fertility. And it just like came off the page.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it something that was easy to say, easy to understand. It's usually spelt with a Q, so we switched it to K because we already had a design with K. So full transparency, the brand was supposed to be called something else with a K. But yet we thought that this name was perfect. So we switched it up and we called her Ketesh, which everyone thinks it rhymes with fetish and has nothing to do with that, but it's pretty convenient.
Yeah,
it's good. I mean, it links to something, you know, a word that we're already familiar with.
So it
makes it easy to roll off the tongue.
Yeah, and I think she, like that goddess in particular, she represents a lot of what we stand for as a brand, you know, just in some of the tidbits that I read about her. She, you know, passion and sexuality and love and fertility, it was something that was, you know, celebrated back then, rumored to have been celebrated. And the fact that there was a goddess for it, it's like she was important. And so I think that definitely ties into what we want the brand to represent, is like a bold, fearless, unapologetically her type of woman.
Amazing.
And, you know, in this age of social media where everything is face-tuned and filtered and, you know, changed around, mm-hmm. how does your brand fit in? What is there something, is there a message? You know, you said authentic and fearless, and how do you see women on social media using your product, or how do you want to reflect that image?
Yeah, you know, when we first started to map out what we wanted the brand to look and feel like, there was something that was that really stood out. We wanted it to represent all of the women that embody Ketesh. And it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? And it means authenticity and realness and being proud of that realness. So you'll find in our initial campaign images, we have some really powerful images with a diverse group of women. All of the images are, like, none of them are retouched. There's little things like hair out of position. But when it came to the body, I wanted to make sure that nothing was retouched or sized down, or the cellulite wasn't, like, you'll even see my pictures. I mean, my thighs are full of cellulite. And they asked, like, do you want to airbrush them? I said, no. Like, I want the images to represent what we actually look like and to represent the women that, you know, are actually a part of Ketesh. So even a lot of the images that you see on our Instagram, they're our team members.
Oh, nice.
We only pulled in, I think it was two models. The rest are all a part of our team. And that's something that we want to continue. We went to Press Day recently in Paris. And we had one of our campaign images up, and there were so many women that approached the booth and said, like, wow, like, I see myself in this brand. You know, there's a girl that's really curvy and a girl that's really thin, and I see parts of myself in that brand. I think that's what we want to continue to represent. There was an opportunity to go really edgy and sexy, and you know, there's so many Instagram profiles that really like push the envelope that way. We didn't want it to be that. We wanted women to look at the brand and say, I can relate. Mm-hmm. And I think that we still have work to do in that space. A lot of our imagery, you know, we show skin, we show tight clothes. We've heard some women give us feedback, like women that are veiled, and say, I don't know if I necessarily see myself in this brand, because I don't see any women wearing modest clothing. And that's definitely something that we've taken the feedback, and we want to honor that. And so those are things that we're continuing to work on, because we don't ever want to shut the door on women.
Yeah. I mean, if it's inclusive, it's really inclusive, right?
Yeah. Right. Like, you're not just jumping on that trend. You're actually creating it, like being wholeheartedly that. And I appreciate that, because there's a lack of that happening. And I think because of social media, real is now feels unachievable, you know? So it's good to have people like you and brands like you that are bringing real back to show, like, this is what real is. It's not the Photoshopped image you see online.
Right. I mean, there's a lot that we've been doing this month specifically. So I have PCOS. I wanted to take the opportunity to talk about some of the challenges that I've had with PCOS. And a big part of my journey with PCOS has been my weight gain. And just in the last year and a half, my hormones have gotten out of control, and I've gained a ton of weight because I came off birth control. And I'm not proud of my body. I feel super uncomfortable. Like, a lot of the launch images that I look at, I'm like, I don't even recognize this body. And it just made me think, like, how many women, you know, are challenged with this, and how many women go through this every single day where things are happening to her body and she can't understand it. Maybe because she doesn't know that she has a hormonal imbalance, or maybe she doesn't feel comfortable going to the gym, or doesn't know how to approach, you know, the things that are going on with her body. And so we have made it a point to share our stories authentically and to put it out there. And especially for me, like, I want women to feel safe in sharing their stories with us. And so I knew that I was going to have to share my journey first. And yeah, a lot of women feel like they can connect to it and can relate to it. And I'm still not crazy about the way that I look in these images, but it makes me proud that I could go on something as big as Instagram and be very vulnerable and very real, because I feel like women need to hear that these days.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of courage to put yourself up on a platform that idolizes filters and perfection and airbrushing, and it's a new form of bravery, I think, to put yourself out there.
Isn't that funny that you being yourself is being brave when everyone should be themselves?
I know, but that's, I think the last, I don't know, I guess 10 years have taught us that, you know, the pictures that get the most engagement are the pictures with full glam, or, you know, the pictures where you have no stretch marks, or, you know what I mean? And when you do put up a picture of yourself without makeup or without heels or without, you know, shapewear, those are the pictures where people don't really interact much with them. So it kind of subconsciously teaches you that, no, I have to filter myself. I have to look a certain way. So I think people like Iman and, you know, brands that are pushing the envelope a little bit with in terms of how they portray themselves and how they portray their message are the key to, like, changing the perception of how we look, because these filters are getting out of control.
Yeah.
Out of control. Like, you look at, if there's no, it happened to me last month where I wanted to take a selfie, automatically I put on a filter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm not going to put on a filter. And then I removed the filter and I was horrified because I no longer see myself the way I am.
Yeah.
It's through the filter. So that I promised myself, I'm like, no more filters. That's it. If I can't accept myself and I'm in this industry and I'm looking at myself daily, then, oh my God, the people out there, it must be even worse for them.
I think you
have the same issue.
Yeah, of course. And it's so funny because we know this, yet we see people with filters on and we're like, oh, I wish I looked like that. It's like, yeah, you can just put the filter on.
Yeah.
We still fall for it. So it's always refreshing to know that there are people and brands like yourself changing the narrative and moving towards this different angle of where we need to be ourselves, and we shouldn't be ashamed of being ourselves, and shouldn't be ashamed about being women, shouldn't be ashamed about our hormones, about our intimate parts, and all of the things that we've been taught that we shouldn't even discuss.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like this brand is like the embodiment of that. My lifelong journey of like feeling like, you know, you should be ashamed of the things that you're curious about your body or your, you know, intimacy or pleasure. And I lied a lot to my parents growing up. I did. I hid
everything. Every Middle Eastern girl? We all lied to our parents.
Yeah. I hid everything. And I, you know, before I launched this brand, I had to come out with it and I had to tell them. And it's been a journey. There's been little layers that I've been peeling back throughout the years of like opening up who I truly am to my parents. But I don't think it fully opened until I was ready to launch the brand, and I had to tell them, share everything with them. So I actually didn't tell them that I had cancer until about a year and a half ago.
Oh my God.
Because I knew that if I was going to tell the story and launch the brand in this way, they were going to find out, yeah, eventually. But I wanted to, you know, give them the respect of knowing first. And I think that that's something that's really scary for a lot of women, especially in our culture. Like you had mentioned, you know, your mom had told you when you were younger, don't tell your brothers you're on, yeah, your period. Or there's so many things that we feel like we need to deal with behind closed doors or alone. And it could be a range of things. It could be, you know, postpartum or going through a miscarriage or having irregular periods or hormonal imbalances. There's so many things that we deal with where society has told us, like, you have to deal with it on your own. I wanted to change that. And I think I'm lucky in a sense, like my family has been very open and very supportive. And maybe not everyone is going to have that experience, but if we could show that, you know, by opening up the conversation, it actually can strengthen your relationship, which it has. Like, my relationship with my parents has never been better. Like, they love Kedish.
Oh, yay!
They, like, walk around town giving out quickies. But it's really transformed us. And if we can create a space where women at least have that with Kedish, maybe they can't turn to their families, but she can DM me, you know, or she can, yeah, DM one of our team members and talk to us. Like, I want to provide that for women.
I don't know. That's really nice. I wish I had like an older sister or someone that I could have, because it's always a lot more difficult speaking to a parent, whether it's your mom or aunt or whoever. But having like someone as a close friend or a sister to speak to is really helps, because you feel like you're not really being judged. And it's great that you are creating that with Kedish. And yeah, I think this is the direction we should all be going, yeah, through, going towards from in any part of the world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this brings me to my next question. Sorry, I'm full of questions today.
It's okay, I love it.
What's next?
Ooh, this question is so loaded. So much. I mean, we are just barely scratching the surface. Our first goal with Kedish was to launch, was to start the conversation, which I think we've started to do, and to really open up, you know, those barriers that had existed for so long when it came to the conversation around feminine health, intimacy, et cetera. We plan to launch another product soon, by the end of the year.
Oh, yay.
Fingers crossed. And yeah, when it comes to products, I mean, we plan to launch products across an entire landscape of, you know, targeted body care, wellness focused products, and then eventually make our way over to pleasure focused products. So we have a lot up our sleeves. We want to continue to cultivate and grow this community that we've started. And beyond Instagram, I mean, Instagram is where we're starting, but we have some plans to expand that and to make it in a very interactive way. So more to come on that. And I think for me, the biggest goal I have and the dream that I have for Kedish is to be able to give back to women in a real way, and working with partners in order to do that. And so I think that that's more of a long-term goal is to really focus on the CSR aspect of the brand, which I think we'll get there. But it's the ultimate goal is to not just to create products in this community, but to also like service women.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's hopefully what's next.
Oh, that's great. Really looking forward to it.
No, we're very excited.
Thank you.
If the quickie is any indicator, then I'm sure everything to come after is going to be equally amazing.
Thank you so much.
The pressure is on, I have to say.
They're really good. They're really good. Yeah. There's a couple that I'm really excited for. So yeah, hopefully women enjoy, and you know, every product that we launch, it's just an opportunity for women to get more acquainted with their bodies, and we'll definitely focus on different areas of concern or different, you know, different areas that women want to honor. And so I'm excited for it.
Oh, wow. Nice. Great. We can't wait. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us today. This was an amazing episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We can't wait to see your... You know, everything new coming from Ketesh.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you so much for opening up, you know, the door for women to be more comfortable about themselves and their intimate areas and everything that happens in their body. So I think that's something that we really should applaud you for.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.